Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, you got a heart of lion, so why?
yes. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, thank the Most High. Yes, thank the Most High that we're back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Enemia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity. Yes, indeed, for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of his people. The Most High has told me that, yes, indeed, that I have for him some, let's just say, for his purpose and his cause. I have some very important things for him, for his cause, that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends. Yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, he said to me that I would have his protection. I said his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I indeed am utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that surely, indeed, I must tell you things. And men, rulers of the earth, have done everything they could. And many of my brothers and sisters who follow those rulers have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, if they could, to destroy. We must understand that the world we live in today, what we see is a result of a fall. Every single one of the present hierarchies we see in this world, governing bodies, nations, politicizations, denominations, every single one of them, my brothers and sisters, is falling short of the glory of what honors Yah. Every single one of them has fallen short of the absolute knowledge of the truth that the Most High declared from the beginning. Were it not so, my brothers and sisters, the world today would be one. And that Yah is one, my brothers and sisters, and all that will be participant in his name, true to the oath that the Most High would sanction a soul, true to his name, knowing that he is all and everything that he is. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, if all the world were true to the Shema principle, that is the gospel, I'll explain that in just a moment, we wouldn't have some 45,000 denominations in the world. We wouldn't have some 45,000 odd variant religiosities in this world. We wouldn't have, my brothers and sisters, 280 nations in this world. If all the world realized the mandate of the gospel, I said the mandate of the gospel, that all must come unto the law of truth, that all must seek the Most High, I said, beyond all their rulers, for the remembrance of all the Most High from the beginning has decreed. If all recognize the mandate of the gospel, my brothers and sisters, to be converted unto that exceeding word which Yah himself will reveal. If all understood, my brothers and sisters, that there is no conversion after the multitude of contradictions that exist in this world. Yes, my brothers and sisters. Walking after the truth of the faith. I said walking after the truth of the faith. Walking after the truth of what is faith. Men not judging after simply the constructs which their rulers have created. Will discern the will. I said will discern then the will of the one true Yah. Remember there's a reason why the scriptures tell us In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the founding principle upon which is life. Dare men say that they could stand upon a foundation that denies what the Most High from the beginning declared eternal and still say they have synchronicity and the principles of eternal life. In the beginning was the word, even the word of life. It is a constant. in harmony with Yahweh does not change. And that principle, my brothers and sisters, surmises all that is true unto the one Most High, eternally, eternally sanctioned, upheld, guarded, defended, preserved in Him. This need, my brothers and sisters, to discern the nature of this principle. It is a principle, my brothers and sisters, that a polytheist world and its fallen stasis has refused in all things to understand, that men might consider themselves wise after a multitude of worldly contradictions. I've talked to you many times, my brothers and sisters, and very early on, when the Most High spoke to me, He told me that if I could believe, He told me that if I could believe that a multitude of contradictions, as we see in this world, are a device or a work as a result of the working of His Spirit, He told me that I could not be a disciple unto Him. The contradictions we see in this world, my brothers and sisters, an antipathy against the teacher, the eternal teaching. The most of the contradictions we see in this world, my brothers and sisters, can only be an insult, a result of rebellion against the teacher. A rebellion, even my brothers and sisters, I would dare to say, against truth itself. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, bring all things to remembrance, to the rebuke of all sin, all that divides the people after fallen standards, be they, like I said, political, social, pseudo-religious, territorial, or even over the course of time. You must understand, my brothers and sisters, with the Most High created from the beginning, that is an eternal statute. That was the Most High declared from the beginning what He expects of this earth should be a common expectation for all the people. Blessed are they who account the grace of Yah to discern what the Most High declared from the beginning, that they might prepare wisely to be participant in that blessed eventuality. Again, my brothers and sisters, this is Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I welcome you all to the show. And I thank the Most High. Yes, I do. I truly thank the Most High for every ear. I said for every ear that Yah brings near. Much, my brothers and sisters, I would like to declare, tell you tonight. Yah willing, we'll have time to go through much of it. Some of what I'd like to talk about is a continuation or what we talked about on last evening, how Revelation 16:12-21, discerning this is a key to understanding the way of the kingdom, how discerning this expectation that will bring an end to all the lies and illusions that are present in this world will pave the way for the establishment of the kingdom of Yah. Revelation 16:12-21. Relates to scriptures as we've spoken before. So much of what's in Genesis 14, 1 through 5, Genesis 49, 10 through 12, Numbers 24, 14 through 17 through 19, Isaiah 15, 16 chapters. There's a need to deal a bit with 526 on through 526, Isaiah. Important to consider what's there relative to what's in Isaiah 40:27-41:4. There's a need to examine Isaiah 19:1-5, 19:18-25. Need to examine 24-27 chapters of Isaiah, really from the 23rd on to the 27th chapter, particularly 24:6-10, 25:1-3. Through 7, 27:9-12. Wow, the scriptures continue and continue. Continue to rattle them off. Wow. 66th chapter of Isaiah, particularly 6 to 15th verse. What do these scriptures say? As Zephaniah, 3rd chapter, 3:1 through 5. 3:13 also says. Hosea 10, 5 through 12 also says. Amos 3rd also repeats. So much other scripture, my brothers and sisters. You really understand Revelation 6, 12 through 7, 17 as compared to 16, 12 through 21. You realize that all these things are replication of the same scripture. A scenario that's also painted, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, and Luke 21, all repeat over and over again. For those who understand that all things spoken by the prophets are not necessarily contained in their own book, realizing that the testimony of the apostles and prophets and of Messiah himself were relative to former testimony, prophetic testimony, concerning what is to happen in the last days, as foretold by all the prophets before. Talked last evening about the expectation. Scriptures speak about what was called, what I call at this point, the secret city prophecies concerning that city at which Messiah must arrive in the last days, because the people weren't trusting in their rulers, didn't know what to expect, how Messiah was to return. And the scriptures talk about the destruction of that city for not listening will be something that signals very suddenly at an instant the exposing of all the miscreant ideals of your rulers and kings. Just as the scriptures say that Messiah suddenly revealed at the destruction of that city is also something that comes and happens suddenly at an instant, unexpected. Because again, the rulers had no desire for men to discern. And they still, to this day, have no desire for men to discern. What will expose all their doctrines is quite foolish. You ever stop to consider that the scripture is talking about the destruction of that city and the revelation of Messiah at the same event, which is what Revelation 16, 12 to 21 speaks, which is what Revelation 6, 12 to 17 speaks. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, why the rulers never wanted you to know that expectation. Why they never wanted you to understand why, what was really the expectation of the early church. People who called themselves, I didn't say Christian, that's a Greek term, came later. Early church called themselves Kurdishanya, expecting the one called the Kurdi. One called the righteous one from the east, or the king of the east, which Yeshua said that he is when he said, I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The morning star that rises, if you get my point, likened to the morning star that rises in the east, that suddenly comes to cast out all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure. Messiah is called in scriptures many times the son of righteousness that arises, angel from the rising sun, or the king of the east. Revelation 7:2. Revelation 6:12, read on through the 21st verse. He called himself the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Revelation 22:16. 2 Peter 1:19-21. He is called in many texts morning star. 1:78. He is called sunrise, the dawning of the day. Some texts have actually say things like dawn star, the dawning star, morning star. I can also tell that some texts say day spring from on high, the spring of the day. All those words anciently meant east, my brothers and sisters. How many understand what the scriptures mean in Isaiah 40:27-41:4, speaking of Messiah, the one likened to Elijah, Yohanan the Baptist later. Messiah said that Yohanan was the Elijah that was to come. According to the scriptures of Isaiah 40-41, it's obvious, if we are wise, that Messiah said that he is that one called the righteous one likened to the rising sun whom the Most High raises up to expose and subdue all the unrighteousness of all the kings. And those of us who are wise realize, yes, that is one who came 2,600 years ago. And Messiah said that he would return again. at Revelation 22:16. In the latter days, and all the prophecies concerning that one at Isaiah 45 has not yet come to pass, nor have those from 40, the chapter of Isaiah from the 43rd. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, if we realize the prophecies speak of one who came 2,600 years ago. Messiah said he is that one called the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star that is mentioned at Isaiah 11. There comes a second time to regather Israel. Isaiah 24 said he would regather Israel in the latter days from a place in the west at first. And then all the nations. Isaiah 59 says it's the same thing. 59:19-21. First Babylon he would deliver the people from was one in the east. Isaiah 11:10-12 says he regathers his people a second time. And those many scriptures related come from that point from the east. Not from the east in the latter days, but from the latter days from the west. To revive, my brothers and sisters, unto all the world, the conscience that was once in the east, and the expectation of one who would reconcile the whole world after the will of one. Read Isaiah 45:6. Call that they may know from the rising sun to the west, there's none else but Yah. Nor the Savior, nor the righteousness. Blessed are they who will comprehend. We've been talking about those things quite frequently, my brothers and sisters, over the course of the years that I've been on Blog Talk Radio. Some have caught on, some have not. Many are too proud to catch on and realize that they actually have not known who Messiah is at all. Because if you haven't known Messiah as that one called Shiloh, Seosiant, Kurdi, Shashin Shah, some of the ancient titles by which he was called. If you have not known Messiah by those titles and that ancient expectation that was in the East that the West chose in many ways to hush, then you haven't, let's just say, not in knowing the expectation of him in the latter days. You haven't discerned how to prepare for him. And having not known how to prepare for him with the expectation of an absolution, many have even believed that the grace of Yah, the gift of Yah, has been unto what? A law that perpetuates and licenses lies? What do you think the scriptures mean when it talks about grace and truth? The gift of Yah must be true. The refining grace of Yah, in fact, is a law. That all must believe the same. When you say, go forth and convert the nations beyond all the misrule of the nations, saying all power and authority has been given unto him. He disavowed the authority of all the kings for those who believe. Beside the end of this false law, whereby the deceitful misrule of all the kings is preserved for those who believe in him. Remember, there's a reason why Messiah said, Scripture said of Messiah in Isaiah 11, he will not judge what his eyes see nor what his ears hear. He knows that the divisiveness that we see in the world, the multitude of divisions, are the result of lies, not the result of truth. Much, my brothers and sisters, concerning this to be considered. Because the Scripture says, because men have trusted in a false concept of peace. Messiah came and said, for those who would believe in him, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Says the Spirit of truth, the world will not receive. But the world considers itself at peace simply because in men, in their lack of knowledge, accept one another's lies, one another's diverse concepts of what is discipline. That were never disciplined purely and completely from the Most High himself. What's the scripture say in 1 Thessalonians 5:3? When they shall say peace, another word for happiness. It says, suddenly destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There are those brothers and sisters who believe that they have peace simply if all around them simply sanction everyone's differences of opinion. Many consider that what they believe is substantiated simply if no one can disprove it, or most are unwilling to give consideration of what is rational. My brother says there's no stability in that, none whatsoever. Scripture says, my people have sworn by my name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. It says, no peace then to those who trust in lies. No peace to those who trust in partial standards. If men are subject to any conscience less than that of the Most High, there are many shades of deceit after which he is blinded not to see the greater light. There's a reason why Messiah will come saying, listen to me, O Isles, hearken to me, O you nations, because Messiah comes to bring to remembrance all things the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his prophets since world began. Acts 3:18-23. To restore the fullness of the light, even the light, my brothers and sisters, that all the systems of the world have sought to obscure. There's a reason why we need to really truly examine Isaiah 48-49, particularly 48:22-49:6, to understand how the scriptures say Messiah would truly be revealed to this earth. And I trust, my brothers and sisters, some of you will seek this out, those of you who have not discerned and heard, to discern to what the world has said concerning the appearance of the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Deliverer. It's a scenario, an event that will come to pass in a way, my brothers and sisters, entirely, completely unexpected by the masses. For most have trusted in what their rulers have told them, desirous that they never discern the Messiah to reconcile the world, must prove the foolishness of them all, that his wisdom would be exalted, that unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. You have to understand, my brothers and sisters, what the scriptures mean in Revelation 16. When it says the stability, it really relates to us if we understand the implications, that the stability of the fallen systems of this world depends upon someone standing, or many standing, to maintain the illusion that the rulers and their standards in their multiplicity are somehow righteous. The only way you have a multitude of righteous standards, my brothers and sisters, is someone is indiscriminate against the righteousness of the One Most High, meaning that all these multitude of standards must be false righteousness, not salvation. Most High did not say that anyone who disagreed with him on any point would be found worthy of his kingdom. He said, if you fall victim to the contentions of the rulers who deny the law and the prophets in any way, therefore creating divisions among you, he said, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. You need to understand the principle, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says, if you are found among those who would leave men foolish in denial of the law and the prophets, whoever would do this is guilty of hellfire. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, there are many reason why the scripture says, watch out for false prophets who declare fallen, false, polluted, perverse, insubordinate, a multitude of differing lesser standards. So you watch out for those, my brothers and sisters. They deny you what is necessary to perform and do what is the will of the Father. They take you into bondage after themselves. Scripture says the fall of those who trust in such houses and look after those who deny the Most High and look to them for sanctuary. You need to be warned, for the fall of such houses, false security anchors, will be great. Read Matthew 7:13-28 and understand. 5:14-24, Micaiah. Pray Yah to understand. Like I said, if people knew better, they would not give allegiance to the wicked. They would not give allegiance to any fallen standard, because the Most High will have nothing to deceive men, nothing deviant to deceive men to think that such fallen standards are a work of his hand. Complete work of the Most High's hand, my brothers and sisters, is perfect. Abraham was told to walk and seek after the perfect will of Yah, and that would be a blessing to the nation. Did not say a multitude of imperfect standards would bless anyone. The allegiance is, my brothers and sisters, to any fallen standard, where every fallen standard will be exposed by one whom the Most High calls to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. But the scripture says when he declares again the righteousness of Yah, the true gospel of Yah. Need to read Isaiah 45. Need to read Isaiah 61. When he declares indeed what is the true righteousness of Yah, the fullness of the gospel. The gospel is the whole word, not a partial. All who call upon the name of the Most High must seek his whole will. Yah is one. Yah as Yah is one. So all that are of his name must seek him, love him, seek him for the fullness of all that is his will. All that is his will. With all their minds, heart, soul, and might. And this is a blessing to all that would be called brethren in his name. He didn't say that he was sanctioned as his own, anything else. But how many of my brothers and sisters that the dispensation of the gospel was the dispensation of the command called the Shema? Hear, O Israel, all of you who would be his people. Know that Yah is one. And all, in order to be true unto the Most High, must seek the wisdom that makes them one. Romans 11:25-27. He said, I'm desirous, O ye, talking to you Gentiles I speak. He said, I'm desirous, my brethren, that you should know this mystery, lest you become wise after your own estimation. What was he saying? That in a lack of knowledge, men estimate themselves as wise, but that is not salvation. Men presuming that what they call, what they perceive as their imagination, just presuming these things to be wise, could never, my brothers and sisters, before the Most High and all things be counted truth. There's a need to understand what the scriptures mean when the scriptures talks about in Romans 10. It says, men not knowing the righteousness of Yah seek to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of Yah. That's not salvation. Besides, the end of man's trust in lies are the fallen multitude of diverse standards of men to those who believe. Dare men say that the grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, permits, licenses the lie? What does it say in the book of Jude? It says men will pervert the grace of Yah. They pervert then the knowledge of the truth of Yah. So that men walk after their own standards. The Messiah will have to come according to the 15th verse to expose this as all unbelief and have to convince men against all the ungodliness of all the ungodly doctrine that they have spoken. It means, my brothers and sisters, that we are favored when we know that as Yah is one, we are called into a law of truth. In 45,000 denominations, 280 nations, 45,000 different religiosities, my brothers and sisters, are not the work of truth, but the work of man having fallen after a multitude of deviations. It's time we understand the real. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. It has been true that the stability, or what they call the stability of all these fallen systems of the world, depends upon men trusting, therefore, in obstacles against them discerning the truth. But the scriptures tell us again and again, when the truth is revealed, all these systems of the earth will fall. That would be the beginning of the kingdom of light and truth, when all the obstacles against the truth are no more. And in that day, my brothers and sisters, him who declares that truth, the scripture says concerning him, because he reveals the exceeding truth that overcomes all these, all the rulers, all the diverse rulerships of this earth. Scripture says that because he is the one who reveals these things, this exceeding truth that none else but the king could, revealing the gospel of the king, the gospel of the one king. I didn't say what this world calls kingdoms, because people in this world look at kingdoms and see a multitude of different ideologies in them. But the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the king, is after the word of one. And only the king, my brothers and sisters, himself discerns what it is to overcome the multitude of misopinions that are in this world. And men might discern what it is to be true to him. Therefore, when the king appears, then will men know what it is to overcome the world. What did he say? Be not afraid. I have overcome the world. He said, the spirit of truth, the worldly, those who love a multitude of this misopinions. See, that truth the world will not receive. What does this mean? What does this mean? He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world will tell people they have peace just because they sanction one another's compromises, one another's hypocrisies. And as long as people sit back and say, okay, you let me have my belief and you have yours, they sit back and say if they have been kind to one another. My brothers and sisters, the love of Yah that we should have for one another compels each one of us to seek the whole truth, that the nations all might be blessed. If we seek anything less, my brothers and sisters, it is counterfeit. It's not the faith at all. As I said to you before, the early church was not called Christianity. They did not call themselves Christian. They called themselves Kurdishanya. Those who expected the one called the King of the East, that absolution shall bring peace to this earth. Man made complete in the knowledge of Yah shall bring peace to this earth. Scripture says, beware, lest any man beguile you after the principles of this world. It ultimately means not after the Kurdi. The word they use for Christ, corruption. Kurdi comes to declare one righteousness beyond all the nations, to expose all the misrule of the nations. Same thing the scripture says in Isaiah 40:27-41:4, when he said, listen to me, O you isles, let my people renew their strength. He comes to subdue all the nations. The strength of his people is not in the multitude of lies taught by the various rulers. Scripture said Messiah would come in Isaiah 49, saying, for a time, I've spent my strength for naught, after nothingness and vanity. How about the contradictions of man? But now Yah has become my strength. In other words, in discerning that Yah is one, he sought an absolute. And that word of honor, mouth like a sharp two-edged sword, a perfect word that discerns whether men prefer all that is righteous or something less. After that word shall he bring his people Israel back to him. How many will understand it in this time? There's a reason why the scripture says in Isaiah 45, surely shall one say, in the Most High have our righteousness and strength. Even unto him shall mighty men come. All who are incensed against him shall be ashamed. And unto him every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Yes, those prophecies that in Isaiah 45 were used for Messiah as a suffering servant 2,000 years ago. Book of Romans, Romans in the 14th chapter. Also in Philippians 2nd, good examples. 3rd, there's a principle in the 2nd and 3rd chapters of Philippians that needs to be looked at in order to understand the comprehensive. There's a need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that those scriptures in Isaiah 45 speak of Messiah as a conquering king. And they spoke of them concerning the one that the scriptures call the Kurdi. If you understand that that one, that translation, Cyrus, is Greek, not the original term. The scripture says, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. It even talks about him coming to destroy Babylon once and for all. And the one called the King of the Medes, Jeremiah 51, as it compares to Revelation 19:11-21. Need to understand who that is, my brothers and sisters, truly. Because, scripture says concerning that one called the Kurdi, that they translated Cyrus, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Through him all shall know from the rising of the sun to the west, or from the west to the rising sun, there's none else but Yah. If they say that concerning him, my brothers and sisters, that from the rising sun to the west, I said even across the other side of the Mediterranean, did all come to recognize that truth then? If not 2,600 years ago, then in the latter days, so. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the scriptures that related this point, related Yeshua, as the one that came 2,600 years ago. That's what was understood by Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in 178 Luke. How is it that today men have not discerned who Yeshua said that he is? How he validated himself as Messiah, according to those scriptures at Isaiah 45, when he said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, the one that was known as the King of the East, the righteous one likened to the rising sun, the one called the Son of Righteousness that arises, that men can realize that Malachi was a latter-day prophet. And then when I say latter-day prophet, Malachi was a prophet toward the very end, or latter testimony, or what men call the earlier testimony, last prophet, per se, before Yohanan the Baptist and the arrival of Messiah himself. Malachi was a post-exilic prophet a few hundred years after the rise of that one called the Kurdi. When they talk about the one called the Son of Righteousness who arises, or the Lord whom you seek, they will wait for him to renew their strength. He's talking about that righteous one like the rising sun in Isaiah 41. You need to realize, my brothers and sisters, that Malachi prophesied of his return. Who else could Yeshua be when he is the one who will destroy the confusion of all the nations, the misrule of all the rulers, that men might overcome the misconceits that have divided this world? Because the contentions that exist in this world, my brothers and sisters, because men have trusted the misrule of leaders who are by no means in all things true to the will, the perfect will of Yah. So blessed are they who will understand these things. Blessed are they who will consider. And I know I'm saying a lot of things at this present time, maybe a little bit swiftly, but it is because there's so much I would like to cover tonight. I'd even like to have a little time to go back a little bit more over some of the things spoken on last evening, because they were very potent and powerful. For those who are, let's just say, the Most High would open their minds to comprehend and discern, my brothers and sisters, the secrets that so often, because we live in a society that many would dare to say that if they can't see it, it is not so. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, bring all things to remembrance. Because the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance those things that men of ages of old understood, that the various systems of this world have sought to silence. I've said it before. Rome saw Kirtishanya, which was the faith initially called, and the expectation of the one called the King of the East who would bring absolution. They saw that as illegal. If you go back and look, that will tell you in the text per se, they say Christianity was an illegal religion until Rome fostered it or chose to take what it called Christianity and establish what it called Christianity in the 4th century. But that word Christianity, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, is Greco-Roman. It's not what the early church and the people in the East called themselves. You look back at the history of the early church, you will find that when those of the West brought what they call the faith, the people of the East who had been practicing that faith for hundreds of years, first thing they said, they called their Western so-called brethren idolatrous. They accused them of false imaginations against the will of Yah. But Rome, as I said to you before, my brothers and sisters, despised the faith and its polytheism. I tell you, they despise the faith of Yah in what was under what was Roman polytheism. I got something here that I might relate quickly. See, this might be a topic that's going to demand some serious investigation in order to comprehend. I have something I want you to think about. Here's something I'd like to play for you. One of your former presidents said, I want you to listen closely. Maybe this will help to understand.
We have served America through one of the most consequential periods of our history, and it has been my honor to serve with you. In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches, there will always be differences and debate. We have served America through one of the most consequential periods of our history, and it has been my honor to serve with you. In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches, there will always be differences and debate.
Always be differences and debate? Is that the anticipation, my brothers and sisters, of an absolution in the earth? Or is that saying that there will never be the acknowledgement of perfect truth? A two-system party depends upon there always being debate, doubt, never faith in an absolute, never faith or never an acknowledgement of the truth. I would only tell you, my brothers and sisters, polytheist systems, democracy, depends upon men never anticipating and an end to a lie. Think about it. Two-party system. One sometimes presidency is Republican, sometimes it's Democrat, constant shifting tides, people electing people to office. Do you really believe the Most High shifts and changes according to the varying ideals and standards of men? Realize this world was never meant to be ruled after the diversities of many. Earth belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who is the King of glory who will not compel men then, according to Psalm 24, to swear deceitfully, or to lift up their souls, or think that they are puffed up and wise after contradictive vanity? He says that King, the King of glory, the King who will honor Yah, will be mighty in battle. Why? Because this earth must be redeemed into the world will of one, and that's his only hope for peace. You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters, as much that, though it goes right by some people, our brothers and sisters, don't be victimized by a system that presumes that all people have to be repetitively unwise. I tell you now that a system that would keep the people constantly divided and conquered, giving license to a multitude of differences of opinion, resulting of ignorance, our brothers and sisters, can never be a just system. Like I said, Romans 11:25, it says, I'm desirous you should know this mystery, not be ignorant, lest you become wise in your own estimations, which is exactly what many do, saying, well, I don't know about so-and-so, I presume what I already have is wise, rather than knowing what Messiah meant when he said, go forth and teach all the nations everything. Teach them then that they must learn everything that he has commanded, that they all, having the knowledge of the truth, might be one, and that no one act as an obstacle against the awakening of his brother, and that all might see beyond the misconceits. The misconceits, my brothers and sisters, that Messiah himself disavowed when he said all power and authority, all jurisdiction from on high, Most High authority been given unto him. Did he sanction the misrule of all the variant kings? Or did he say that all men must convert unto a wisdom transcendent them all? You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters, and understand the true nature of the early faith, and understand that faith is not a matter of trusting the variant fallen standards that we see. Scripture says when Messiah comes after the Spirit of the Most High, bringing to remembrance of all things, then, Isaiah 11, when the knowledge of Yah covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, then, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, and there shall be peace. He says, he shall expose, destroy the pretense of the wicked, the pretenses of those then whom, my brothers and sisters, speaking lies, a multitude of variant opinions, contradictions against the word of truth. How about the multitude of institutions that men call denominations and nations? He shall expose them in their fallen pretenses. Say, with the breath of his lips shall he expose this wickedness that comes as a result of man intruding his felonious ideas in against the pure, perfect word of the faith. What else do you think it is that has preserved these nations? If all nations and all people who call themselves believers would have sought the whole truth, hey, the divisions that exist in this world today would not exist. Messiah, my brothers and sisters, was basically saying to a whole world that all must seek the Most High with all mind, heart, soul, and might, lest men be found fallen after a multitude of fallen standards, which contentions against one another and their pride only perpetuate a damning ignorance. It's time we understand why Colossians said, beware lest any man beguile you after the principles of the world, and not after the Messiah, not after the Kurdi. That you be damned as though living in the world, because you allow those who far from the Spirit of the Most High to be your judges with regard to a spiritual thing. Ephesians said the same. It says salvation not after the variant conversation of men. He said it's his salvation, my brothers and sisters, is after receiving a gift from Yah, a greater discretion, that you be his workmanship, even unto all the good works which Yah has foreordained. And if you're strangers to that which is the expectation of Israel, the covenant of the promise that makes Israel a nation, that will restore Israel as a commonwealth. Scripture says, if you're without that knowledge, you're without hope, without Yah, without the Messiah and in the world. That's not the church, my brothers and sisters. A system tainted after the world cannot bring you deliverance. Scripture says we must all comprehend with all the saints. I'm talking about Ephesians 2nd through 4th. Must all comprehend with all the saints what is the height, depth, and breadth. That demands a remembrance that can only come by the Spirit when this world has chosen to forget so much. Must comprehend with all the saints what is the height, depth, and breadth. Scripture says, even unto one Lord, one faith, one baptism, to the full measure and stature of Christ, and that you should not be alienated in your minds. Read all the way out to 4:17, after the ignorance of other Gentiles. Our brothers and sisters, what these scriptures are telling us is a premise of the early faith. That this world today, in its polytheist democracy, somebody called it demon rule, divided rule. Rule, my brothers and sisters, not true to the will of one. Rule after a multitude of misopinions. I, my brothers and sisters, the premise, these premises, are those with Western polytheist philos, philosophy, has chosen to completely ignore. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that allegiance is to this present matrix system. It's an intermingling of lies and illusions, contradictions. What do you think it means when Scripture says the heart of Egypt in Isaiah 19 will melt? It means all that has been the faith, the belief of those who have trusted in contradictions shall be exposed when that swift word from on high, swift testimony from on high is revealed. There's a revelation revolution coming, my brothers and sisters. Most High intends to change the world with a word. It's the reason why he said, called his name the word of Yahweh, the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, called him King of kings, Lord of lords. The rod of his mouth shall he slay, the rod of his mouth shall he smite the earth. It's a word, my brothers and sisters, that turns men to discern the truth. They realize the irrationality of all that they have trusted. It is time we understand the reality, that we might return to it and repent. It says, comfort ye, O my people. It's talking about repenting and returning to the word that is initial, that your contentions be no more. For a man to trust in what Yah declared from the beginning, these differences today and contentions would not exist. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, what those scriptures are really saying in Isaiah 19. It forecasts the remembrance of truth. It will cause men to have a vow unto the Most High himself. That they will finally be actually what is what was foretold will be world peace. There's a need to understand what the scriptures mean when it says, be watchful, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. To look for the Son of Man. The one who is actually my brothers and sisters, the one whom the Most High said he would teach, that he would give the morning star, the wisdom, my brothers and sisters, the light that transcends worldly darkness. He said to look, watch, behold, see, and seek Yah. You need to understand it's not perceiving in accordance to what is serving surface presentation, what seems apparent after the variant machinations and misrulerships of man. Therefore, what is needed salvation, my brothers and sisters, is hid from the carnal eye. Scripture says carnal mind is not subject to the law of Yah, not subject to the law of truth, and cannot be. It says the spirit of truth, the world will not receive. The carnal mind who love a multitude of contradictions, seeking to find peace and compromise, that's a dimension of absolution they cannot receive, cannot accept, cannot grasp. But the scripture says you subdue the flesh, what seems wise, after carnal, fleshly perception, by what is revealed by that spirit that grants a greater vision, a greater cohesiveness of vision. He said, then shall you live. Every single soul, then, my brothers and sisters, is indebted to the Most High. And entirely, my brothers and sisters, under the mercy of the Most High as to whether or not the eyes will see and the ears will hear. I said it to you before, I'll say it to you again. When the king has come, then will men discern the gospel of the king. They will open men's eyes to understand how they've been captives. The release, my brothers and sisters, men from captivity whose heart's allegiances have been after something that is not in all things true to Yah. And then it would be true, my brothers and sisters, what is written. When men see that greater light, unto him shall all the nations seek. His rest, his peace shall be glorious. Because men will discern the greater light that they must follow unto life. It's time we understand the reality. Like I said, to look, watch, and behold, and seek Yah, or seek and prepare for the coming of the Son of Man, is not according to the rulers of the king, whose miscreant direction he must expose. Dare men say that they receive grace and favor from Yah for believing that believing the insult, that he sanctions all these contradictions, that all these differences are the result of hearkening to him? Shall men believe such an insult? And even begin to discern the holy name. Yah said, I hear the great I am that I am, not as he is not. None of these contradictions, my brothers and sisters, are of him, nor can any of them before him be counted godly. It's time we understand the reality. All the folly, beyond all this folly, faith unto the salvation, oneness with Yah, made complete in all things agreeing unto him. The salvation that overcomes the world is in reverent knowing that Yah is wiser than all that we see. Blessed are they who know to seek Yah, that their eyes might be open to understand. Because the carnal mind is a blinder. Many say what is good is only what feels good, seems good to their eyes. The adversary has been using that trick since the garden. You need to understand. In fact, from the earth before the garden, for those who will really understand. They wish to believe a multitude of mass contradictions, trust in the status quo. So often they do this, seeking the camaraderie of those who lack vision, that they might not be regarded as deceived. But the soul that has love for Yah and love for his brother, my brother and sister, upon discerning the truth, will understand what it means in Hebrews. I say, will understand what it means in Hebrews when it says, shall a man, ultimately relates, shall a man sin willfully after he receives the knowledge of the truth? Shall he go after a fallen standard, return to a fallen standard, after receiving that which would raise him up closer unto Yah? Shall he find any form of atonement unto the Most High if he blasphemes and insults the opportunity granted in receiving the Holy Spirit? In receiving a pure word, shall he have atonement, my brothers and sisters, for resistance? Shall that resistance be called faith, my brothers and sisters, or shall it be called unbelief? Say by the favor you say you have by faith, trusting beyond what you see, trusting Yah in terms of what he reveals by his spirit. And without that vision, my brothers and sisters, no man is delivered from the misconceit of seeing wise to his flesh. The misrepresentations we see in this earth. All I can say is that to allow an already dividedly contentious world to become one's judge is to be constantly deceived, far from the hope of completion, far from the hope of peace, far from the hope of life, far from what the Shema commands actually mandates, which Messiah said is the greatest command of all. Love Yah with all your mind, heart, soul, and might, knowing that he is one, that none, my brothers and sisters, have any alternate perception of him. That is the love of Yah and the love for his purpose in this earth. Or dare men dare say and believe the Most High is content with the destruction, the illusions, the confusion, and the contentions, the warfare, and the false pride that has come as a result of man not preserving and not seeking the fullness of the truth the Most High said he would and has revealed. What does it say in Deuteronomy 29:29? The secret things belong to Yah, but that which he has revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So in the last days, 30:1-8, all these things the men have forgotten while in diaspora, scattered under the misrule of the kings. He said all those things will be remembered. Says Messiah comes to reveal all things, bring remembrance of all things, restitution of all things. Acts 3:18-23. According to all the Most High spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began, and whoever will not hearken or reckon according to that fullness of a word. You need to read also Isaiah 8:16-20. Whoever will not reckon according to the fullness of that word. Scripture says they have no light in them. They be cut off from the inheritance of the people. Far from my brothers and sisters, him of whom the scriptures speak. Those who dwelt in darkness are, let's just say, in the midst of multitude of confusions, have seen a great light. There's a reason why the scripture calls him Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace. The very word for peace means, it relates what is considered of all the Most High, who declare that his people must revere. Consideration of all things, reverence for all things, respectful of all that the Most High declared. Brothers and sisters, that's the only hope of peace with him. And when all men recognize the same truth, all speaking the same thing, obedient, all in word and deed, discerning what it means, 1 Corinthians, how about 2 Corinthians, another place. 1 Corinthians said, in the name of the Most High, in the name of the Most High, let there be no divisions among us. All speaking the same thing. See, if there's any strife and divisions, because we function carnally and not as spiritual men. See, we consider ourselves wise then after the difference that becomes as a result of man's carnality. Strife becomes a result of men's carnality. Let them consider themselves foolish. Not fully functioning after the Spirit, that we might become wise. Apostle Shaul said, let no man therefore consider himself so wise before the time till Messiah, the King himself, comes to reveal all that is the fullness of the gospel, all that men have not considered. And then shall men know how to honor Yah. Blessed are they who will understand. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a need to comprehend that there's no other word that the Most High calls the gospel but that which exceeds all the nations. And it is not after the rule or conversation of men. It is a word granted from on high. And blessed are those who receive the gift that upon discerning it or receiving it, they hold to it steadfast. Shall a man insult the gift of exceeding wisdom and expect still to be called with Yah an ally? Scripture says any man who would do this, there's no more sacrifice to be offered for his sin, but he's ready for the fire and ignition to consume the adversary, because many petitioning the Most High for his spirit have been treacherous against his wisdom, the wisdom of that spirit, and they've insulted the gift of Yah. They turn away from even the opportunity unto that greater birthright. So they have an inheritance. The book of Jacob tells us we have to be wise. The double-mindedness that many are provoked by among the nations must be overcome. Our perseverance, patience, faith in Yah, even faith in the coming of the one called the Kurdi, who will expose all the unrighteousness of all the rulers, who Yeshua said that he is. So either we have that faith under that expectation, seeking what is greater than all the rulers, or we fall to the rulers and say, let not such as this think they receive anything from Yah, because they will never be perfect allies. Read the book of Jacob, 1:1-8:9. Read out to the 17th verse and realize that the light of the Most High has in it no variances. All the will of the flesh, what seems wise to the flesh, the grass withers, the flower fades. The word of Yah endures forever. Read it and compare it to Isaiah 40 and see who it's speaking of. Isaiah 40-41. And realize who it speaks of. It never said, no brothers and sisters, that the will of the flesh, the designs of the flesh, what seems wise after carnal mind, will enter the kingdom of Yah by any means. None of these misconceits, these instabilities, were to stabilize what the Most High has planned and declares eternal. I can say again, my brothers and sisters, the grace of Yah, the gift of truth, discretion beyond all the misconceits of this present Babylon, the misrule of all the kings, rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, whatever they call themselves, prime ministers, who cares? Titles they give themselves, if Yah did not grant them the knowledge of the truth, dare you say they are the favored? Or are they obstacles in their ignorance that must be overcome? Western philosophy declares that what is wise is dictated by what's supposedly common knowledge based among the people. therefore determining that there's supposedly no foolishness, because, hey, think about it. Our people are easily deceived for lack of knowledge. If everybody sits back and says that everybody's knowledge is knowledge, can anyone discern what is foolish? Or do men discern at that point? Or do they have the capacity to discern beyond what deceives? Because Scripture says, the reason why the Scripture says the gospel is hid. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. If you don't know hold that pure, perfect word, the full armor of Yah, it's easy to be deceived by someone who would trick you after the designs of what is less. Dare men say that a word is true, or that a concept is true and to be counted righteous? What people use as a knowledge base is all they know. Does Yah not know more? Certainly he does. Blessed are they then, my brother and sister, who consider all things that Yah speaks and reveals to the mind and heart. We live in a society today, my brother and sister, that says, well, most people don't know it. It makes no difference. Scripture says Yah is going to still judge man according to everything that he's spoken by the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. So shall men say that the word of Yah is unimportant because men have destroyed, murdered, and they did in the first century so many who knew these truths? Man will still be held accountable for it all. And blessed are they who will understand that. The Messiah comes to reveal all these things suddenly. The Scripture says man will be granted a short time to catch on to the truth. Read Isaiah 48. He says, for a moment I would defer my anger, that he might refine his people, that he might restore them and grant some opportunity and the knowledge of the truth. My brothers and sisters, blessed are they who will come early and understand these things. Revelation 7:2 says, one called the angel like the rising sun will say to the angels of wrath, because man has skirted the knowledge of the truth. Yeah. Men have believed liars against the truth. Men have exalted liars against the truth. Yeah. Scripture says he will come saying, the angels of wrath, heard not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, to seal the servants of Yah upon their brows. Till those who will believe the truth will quickly come forth. Read Isaiah 66:6-15, and understand what that scenario is concerning the city, my brothers and sisters, whereby the truth should go forth to expose every lie. Revelation 16:12-21, speaking the same. Who is it that has faith under that eventuality? For the Scripture says we expose all the misrule of all the kings. I want you to understand, if you don't believe that there's an end to foolishness, where is faith in Yah in that? Or dare men say that most have to stabilize up the misconceits of man? That's an insult. I want you to ask yourself a question. Is there nothing more to be seen than that which men obligate themselves after what their carnal senses perceive? That's almost like saying that if I'm on one side of a wall and somebody else is on another side of a wall and I can only see what on one side of the wall, I act like that wall is infinite. There's nothing on the other side, and what the other person sees on the other side doesn't matter. Most of you told me at the end of anything is only another beginning. I asked one time how much we should grow. He said, until you can look up in the sky and say star B and one starts glowing, you keep growing. You got something else you can learn from me. At the end of anything is only another beginning. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will always seek the Most High, whose intelligence is infinite. It's the reason why the Scripture says the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings, the gospel, the whole word to the meek. There are those, my brothers and sisters, who would rather say that if they don't know anything about it, they'd rather not. I've had people tell me point blank the same thing. As somebody told me, he'd rather not know, so he'd rather not think. He doesn't want to be held accountable for what he might find out. But brothers and sisters, you seek the truth, because the truth brings unity with Yah, and it sets men free from those who would keep you stagnant in a lack of knowledge. Is there nothing more than what men can or will oblige themselves to see? Absolutely, there's so much more. But such thought forms, whereby men exalt themselves as if they were wise, is innate stagnation. And that rulers call themselves wise and are considered wise in their judgment based upon what they or their constituency will or not acknowledge. That's as if to say, my brothers and sisters, there's no higher order or wisdom than what is common to the mind of man. Such perception, my brothers and sisters, will always be an obstacle, as long as it exists, against men discerning what is oneness between man and his creator and the universe around him. The adversary deceives men, my brothers and sisters, by compelling men to believe and to trust only in what their individual lusts acknowledge. Deceives by causing men to trust in a multitude of mixed examples, surface level perspective that only carnal senses would call valid, in that those who have the spirit know there's something more. Has to be. Or dare men believe that what they see presently is peace? You know, it's kind of funny. I think about that scripture. It talks about in 1 Thessalonians. When men say peace, peace, sudden destruction will come upon them as a woman in travail. Coming suddenly as a woman in travail. Suddenly realizes, hey, it's time to deliver that child. And it says, and then that sudden, unexpected awareness comes. Sudden destruction. Something that destroys their past sense of comfort. When it suddenly comes. Many, because they were not prepared, would not escape. How many understand the word for peace in Hebrew relates also that which is glad, what is rejoicing, what is blessed, what is won, what is happy? All across the globe, I think it's kind of funny. You hear these folks, and I think it's crazy. Really, I do. The illusion that whatever people imagine is peace and happiness, is peace and happiness. Though oftentimes men are contentious against one another. False sense of peace. False sense of what is happy. False sense of mutual love. But there's a song called Happy Out right now. It's become an international phenomenon. People all over the world making their videos playing this song. Last evening we were talking about that sudden event that comes that the sudden event that comes will shock the whole world to realize what they thought was peace was not peace. Wow. 1 Samuel 15:29. I think it's something to look at. Maybe these concepts might become more concrete in the mind. 1 Samuel 15:27. What does it say? Shall the men say that they are strong, basing their opinions on all the multitude of diverse standards of all the kings? What did I tell you earlier? Scripture says Messiah will come and say, keep silent before me, O you isles. Let my people renew their strength. In other words, let them be no more destabilizing lies. Didn't say the people would be strong, believing a multitude of divergent opinions. Didn't say that at all. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, Most High has called the strength of Israel. He said, the strength of Israel will not lie, nor will he turn back on his word, nor repent. For he's not a man that he should repent. Some scripture says not a man that he should lie. You need to understand, our brothers and sisters, lies at the base of any system will never be strength. Or dare men say that they're right, what they call a right, to deceive one another by everyone's differences of opinion, is what will bring man to atonement, agreement, unto the Most High. Every man sanctioned every man's compromises and hypocrisies. Do they dare believe that not keeping or preserving or maintaining what the Most High declares in our absolute is what we call the love of Yah? Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Guard, maintain, and defend the sanctity of the truth. So men say, my brothers and sisters, that sanctions everybody's misbeliefs will somehow be counted a matter of man having preserved what the Most High calls blessing. Strength of Israel, my brothers and sisters, the strength of a people Most High will call a light to the world is not based upon lies or a multitude of misopinions, debates, and doubts. This is not, in other words, true truth, my brothers and sisters. What this world called religious freedom. Everybody sanctioning whoever's belief. It's not faith in the one. It's faith in the multitude of devils, though. You need to think about that. Does that set men free, my brothers and sisters, or just set men in bondage? Things are not as they seem. As I told you before, Messiah, Scripture said Messiah will come saying, for a time I walked after the vanity, the nothingness, the contradictions of this world, but now Yah has become my strength to bring people back to him. I did not say dissuaded after the multitude of devices of the nations. Surely shall one say in the Most High of our righteousness and strength, I said beyond all the nations, he shows the confusion of all the rulers, that men might become strong in the Most High. How about at that point, my brother says, how about at that point an allegiance to one? He said, the first command, you shall have no other God but he. How about no other king, nor the ruler, but he, lest you be divided. He didn't say that man swearing false oaths under the contradiction of this world. He did not say after these, my brothers and sisters, men would be counted blameless. He said there's double-mindedness, and the desire to preserve such double-mindedness receives no favor from the Most High. Blessed are they who will no longer insult him, but know they must seek him in the context of what he had declared fully as an absolute. Zephaniah 3:13, the remnant of Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity, have none to harm them. How about when, according to Jeremiah 23:1-7, when the Most High is our righteousness, when righteousness is the only king and ruler we know, then shall Israel dwell securely. There shall be none to harm, none to dissuade. That will be the strength and the security of a holy nation. Think about it. It did not say the security of a nation, the maintenance of a nation that is to be eternal, at peace, a people unto Yah, sanctified unto Yah. It did not say the sanctity and the security of that nation is based upon the misopinions of man. But Yah said he will write his law. How about he will write the one truth beyond all the nations upon the minds and hearts that we be his people. Jeremiah 30-31 talks about the Most High making a full end of all the nations that have lied, dissuaded and distracted his people that he may declare his discipline to his people without distraction. The lies must be eliminated. Misconceits, false rules, mistranslations, misinterpretations, misadministrations of man. How else shall it be, my brothers and sisters, that the rule of the one king should be established, lest all these be exposed as foolish? We talked about that last night, Isaiah 44:20-45:6-46:13. Messiah comes to prove foolish to rule all the rulers, that men might be set free. Because so much of what men have trusted, not knowing it was folly, my brothers and sisters, till men discern by a true word, an exceeding word, the instability of every lie, men trust in the lie. And dare they say, my brothers and sisters, to trust in the word of a devil, that they are free from the punishment of hell. Said he who dies without the law, perishes without the law. He who dies without the truth, the gift of truth, the law of Yah. Difference between the law of Yah, my brothers and sisters, that declares one king, and the law of this world that will preserve and mandate that men uphold all the variant misconceits of men. A huge difference. International compromises among the nations, my brothers and sisters, that are not true to the will of one, that's the law of the devil. It's the law of the flesh. And believe me, the adversary has been enticing men to believe that what appeals to their flesh has been freedom for a long time just because it appeases the will of one. It's a covenant, my brothers and sisters, that we must uphold, must come to be aware of. That's for the blessing of all. The scripture says salvation is not of works as any man should boast. It's not after the conversation of this world. Saved by the favor we get through faith in the truth. That was not a statement that we seek the truth, or just simply seek Yah, only for the beneficence of ourselves, If we seek not with a mutual love for the good of all, my brothers and sisters, why should we be given truth to be a conduit at all? There has to be a mutual love for the good of all, my brothers and sisters. That makes one worthy to be called worthy of the tribe. Tribal instincts like that must be restored. Like I said, do people really believe that the believer is justified by a law of compromise with lies, where there's no keeping, guarding, defending, or preservation of the truth? Should the Most High have no ally who would preserve his word? If you really believe the conversion of the people is in the preservation of lies, conversion of the people in the perversion of the truth, the man believed that after such as this they'd be justified to call righteous before Yah. What scripture say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How about they are deceived, confused? How about departed from Yah? For, let's just say, judging themselves wise after their own estimation, because they've trusted so many illusions of so many diverse kings, to many diverse rulerships, while in the midst of this diaspora scattered among the nations, among kings so often contentious one against another. Yes, as a people, our righteous must exceed that of the contentious rulers of this world. Or else, how else could we be the people of Yah? Like I said, my brothers and sisters, I think it's amazing. Most never discern how the varying systems of man, like these seminaries, passing out generic degrees, where men can take these and go out and call themselves validated to preaching some under any, you know, some any denomination. Really believe these institutions are about absolution. I had a pastor one time show me where he was sending out resumes for a job. And I must have seen about 30 odd denominations he was sending out resumes to. I asked him, how could he do that? He said, don't you know, for us it's not about, he said what Jesus said. I call him Yeshua. He said, don't you know, for us we're learning a profession. What the people are willing to buy, they'll sell. That's their job. At least he told the truth about it. And he told me what kind of hypocrite he is. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we discern beyond this pretense? That if the diverse standards of the nation stand against the truth that makes peace, then men have not known peace. And there must be the expectation of one called Shiloh that all must gather unto Genesis 49:10-12. That men, my brothers and sisters, be regathered unto the will of one. The rulers have always hated the hope of Shiloh that was called Kurdishanya, the hope of the Kurdi. That faith was illegal in Rome. And I would say among polytheists to this very day, many would call it illegal. Because they exposed the misrulers of this earth. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, an oath unto no other is peace, eternality, oneness. It's time to discern beyond the lies. It's time to learn to listen to the truth the Most High revealed from on high to become again strong people. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Time to wake up. Time to see the real. Time to understand why they hid from so many of the secrets of Revelation 16:12-21. I can only tell you that if you look back through the archives, look back through the shows that I've been putting on lately, which explains how the scenario event painted in Revelation 16:12-21 has been vastly mistaught by the rulers. And you really need to ask the question, where did these so-called teachers get this false interpretation of those words in the first place? Didn't get them from Yah, you need to ask what kind of spirit they're functioning after. I've revealed the keys to understanding those words. who that one called the King of the East really is. Not to discern these things, my brothers and sisters, not to discern the ancient faith. Messiah said, you should go forth, tell those who would read it, that he is the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He said that was a testimony that must be testified in all the churches of Revelation 22:16. Have men known who that really is? They lied when they told you, my brothers and sisters, that anyone less than Messiah could be that one that's called the brightest of all.
90.
That too, my brothers and sisters, I'm sure, for many needs to be explained. Because there's an adversary who would paint himself as a son of light, though he be the son of darkness. In fact, even the father of darkness. Contradiction. Destruction.
60.
Blessed are they who will overcome these contradictions, these deviations, that they might discern indeed was the righteousness of Yah. Salvation will never be determined by the ignorance of a fool who will stand against the righteousness of Yah or who will stand against the wisdom of Yah. Messiah said he didn't come to destroy or dishonor any part of the law and the prophets. How is it any of my brothers and sisters have actually believed that the grace of Yah and the law of Yah are contentious? The grace of Yah is unto the truth. Shall men say that the law of Yah, the truth of Yah, and the grace of Yah are antagonistic? It is the misrule of man, my brothers and sisters, that hates the truth. Take one word for law, and it didn't make any difference to them whether it was true or false. It was about confusion. You need to understand what is the difference. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, honor, and praise always, thanking the Most High, my brothers and sisters, always for every ear that he brings near. I thank the Most High, yes, indeed, for the wisdom he gives for the awakening of his people. Till we speak again, to his might, honor, and praise always, hallelujah! I thank you all again. This